to go gliding in the one horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet, jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell.
Yeah, it's that time of the year again. But you know what? It's also time for Hacker Mind. Sounds familiar, that little beat right there. It might be because it's in a movie. No, not Hackers, you already knew that. It's in a new movie called Vanilla Sky. Now, Dash tells me it's supposed to be pretty good, but that remains to be seen. Still, driving my car, I can no longer think of that as the Hacker Mind theme. No, now I'm forced to think of it as that song in Vanilla Sky. Yeah. Okay. You hear that? That's a dial tone. And if you didn't know that, why don't you take a large, blunt object and give yourself a little tap on the head. Have you ever picked up a phone and heard absolutely nothing? It's a very, very scary experience, and it happened to me quite recently. Fortunately, the dial tone is back, and that means we can get Mr. Interrupt on the line, as we are going to do right now. And we'll tell you exactly how, well, I don't know if I should say how, because these things are never explained, but I'll tell you my experience with losing my dial tone. Yes, it's a good dial tone, and I'm sad to see it go. You know, I turned on the ringer 1 second before that rang.
Yeah, we're in sync.
Don't ever use that word on the show again.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was thinking.
How many times did it ring?
It's once.
Okay, good. Because leave it to me to keep the ringer off. You know, because you always get these stupid calls during the day, and you don't want them. I remember there was a time when I would wake up. Now, people, for me, this is early. 9:30. 9:30, the phone will wake me up. But what kind of time is 9:30?
It's early.
Yeah, it's crack of dawn is what that is to me, anyway.
No, it's not.
Well, I used to be a morning person. I used to be up at 3:30 all the time.
3:30 in the morning?
3:30 in the morning, and mainly on Saturdays. But now I need my sleep, and I can't have people calling me.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to the beginning of the show, and that cowgirl song is the Hackermine theme song.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The song that's in Vanilla Sky. I'm sorry I even brought that up.
Well, it's not just you, because I was listening to the commercial.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, sure enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really funny, but sure enough, they had, well, not that.
That part, but, yeah. Anyway, I heard it was...
You get the idea.
I heard it was all right, so I haven't seen it, though, but... When I just said, I want to know how they used it.
They better not use it at all. That's just for the trailer, you know? It's the trailer theme.
Yeah.
That's fine by me.
Probably not, though.
Yeah. You know, people to this day, about almost a year and a half, maybe a year and a quarter since we first started doing this show, people still want to know, what is that song you play?
What is that? Yeah, they all want to know.
It's Cowgirl by Underworld. It's from the Hacker soundtrack.
It's a good
yeah.
song.
What's that?
A good song.
Yeah, it's a cool song. It's a long song. If you're wondering, well, you know, what has it been in? Well, it's in Vanilla Sky. But it's also in Hackers. Watch the scene where they're having the little wipeout race on that big screen. You'll probably notice something familiar in the background. At Cyberdelia. But anyway, back to the calling. Yeah, waking up at 9:30 just to get a phone call. It's not even for me. But you know what, Dash?
What?
At least, okay, at the absolute minimum, at least the phone was working.
Yeah, the phone was working.
Yeah, when I woke up, you know, when I got these calls, the phone was working, so I was...
That's, you know, that's just, you know, that is, you know, that your phone's always working. That's just a given.
It's a given, you know, it's your lifeline on the world. You depend on it. You need it. It's there for your safety, even.
It's not like I wonder if the phone's working today. You know, it's always ready.
Right. Even when you have a blackout. Okay, when all the power goes off, middle of the night, I remember this. In fact, I talked about this on one episode. It was, I believe, a Friday night. All the power went out, and I had no idea why. So, you know, I grabbed up my scanner, and I'm listening to the cops and what they're saying. And I thought, well, what the hell? Let me see how big this is. So I tried calling a few payphones around town. Sadly, no one answered at 1 a.m., but the phone lines were working.
Yes, even if the power goes off and everything shuts down, there's always that little tool of communication ready to be used.
But what if there isn't?
What do you mean, what if there isn't? It's always there.
Well, just recently, I picked up my receiver, put it up to my ear, and I noticed complete silence. Absolutely nothing was there. Nothing at all.
Nothing?
Yes. You know what? I feel like an idiot for doing this, but I even hit the switch hook a few times. You know how...
Oh, my God.
How in the movies people always, you know... Well, I don't want to hit any keys on my keyboard because I don't know what they're going to do, but, you know, click, click, click. People tap that switch hook, trying to get a dial tone, and it never works.
See, somebody hangs up on them, they're all, hello, hello, and then they do that.
And people say hello into the dial. All right, we're getting carried away here. Okay, the point is that I was the moron. I'm sitting here tapping the switch hook like...
You did it.
Hello? There's nothing here. I couldn't even hear myself, so there's no energy on the line whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I'm bugging out. So, of course, I'm logical. You know, I tried all the other phones in the house, and nothing. Even my portable phone, I pick this thing up, I turn it on, and I hear the hiss of radio. Because, you know, portable phones are nothing but little radios to the receiver that you mount on the wall, and then that, you know, converts it. I didn't make the damn thing. But when I turned it on, I heard no dial tone. I just heard the radio wave. So, you know, I'm having fun turning on my scanner and broadcasting myself throughout the house. But don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, I had nothing. Now, what do you do when you don't have a phone? Now, fortunately, yes, I had my cell phone and it was charged.
That's what you got to do.
But what if you don't have one?
Well, everybody has a cell phone.
No, not everybody. I can name at least 5 people that don't.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm not gonna. But
yeah, I don't know. What do you do when you don't hear a dial tone? What do you do?
Well,
you call the phone company.
Well, what you could do is you could go down to a payphone, but. I don't know about you, Dash. I don't live in the city.
I don't live in the city either.
The nearest payphone for me is about...
It's kind of close to payphone, though.
Well, for me, it's about a mile away.
For me, it's like 10 or so miles, even more. Wait, no, there's one, like, maybe 2 miles.
2 miles away, okay. So you don't have a phone, you have to get to a payphone and use that. Okay, great. Who do you call? This happens, of course, at 8 o'clock at night. Who do you call?
You call the operator, I guess.
You call the operator. Okay. Now, who does the operator put you through to?
To your phone company.
Okay, sounds good. Now we're getting somewhere. Now, when you get through to the phone company, what do they tell you? What do they say to you?
They say, tough luck.
Well, no, they don't say tough luck. Huh. They do try to help you out. They say,
yeah.
Unplug all the phones in your house. It could be the portable... Shorting out the line.
Yeah.
It could be the what doing the who now. So, that's my new saying. It could be the what doing the who. I like that line. Okay, so first, now you're 2 miles away, so you have to go back home to follow this stupid advice. So you unplug all the wires, you know this isn't going to work, and you plug them back in, no dial tone.
And then if it doesn't work, back down
2 miles.
You know, you should just stand there with a little pen and pad and write down every possible thing that you could do.
That's true. Now what do they say to you?
We'll send someone out to look at it.
When?
I don't know. Probably not that same night.
What if I have to make a 911 call? Obviously they'd have to come out that same night because I would die.
They will, no, well, no. Yeah, they'll just say, tough luck, we'll send somebody out there tomorrow or whenever, you know.
And then, after all this walking to the payphone, I finally go home, have a heart attack, can't call 911, and because my phone isn't working, I'm dead.
Yeah, but no, let's say it's something you do live, then you can sue them, you know.
Well, you could sue them, yeah. Well, for me, fortunately, I had a cell phone, but the nightmare didn't end there.
Did your cell phone have 911?
Oh, yeah. Well, every cell phone has 911. If it has power, it has 911. But that's not what I'm worried about. I'm still worried about getting my regular service back. 8 o'clock at night. Okay, Dash, now you have a cell phone. What do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah.
You already called the company?
Yeah, they're closed. The people that you would call for the residential service, they're closed.
Okay, so the phone company said, we'll send them out tomorrow. Well, you're just going to have to wait then.
Well, you see, here's the catch. Here's the catch.
All right, what's the catch?
Now, when I told you that at the payphone they would put me through to the people I need, that was true. However, if you're at home and you try to dial the residential service, they're closed. They are not open. I guarantee you that. Okay. Well, you have your cell phone. Well, how do I get through to my phone company through here? Okay, hit 0. Oh, look at that. I got Verizon. Verizon's not going to give me my phone company, my local one anyway. So, alrighty. Get the phone book, look in there. No, the residential place is closed. well, let me try the business office. Get the business office, and then they give you the right people. Now, wait a minute, I thought the right people were closed. But no, apparently they do have little magical elves living inside the phone company that can help you.
Yeah.
So I get through to this person, and I'm telling them, I don't have a dial tone. Okay, now here's where they tell me to unplug everything.
Okay, yeah, you did that.
Right.
Wasn't that.
Right. You know, got through to them again, told them it's not that. They say, okay, we'll send someone out tomorrow. Yeah, okay. Now, fortunately, I do have a cell phone, but like I said before, what if I didn't? So here I am thinking, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't have to wait until tomorrow. Now, fortunately, the next day, sure enough, they call me up and tell me it's working now, but I am calling some consumer protection people because that's ridiculous. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, it is. They didn't even come out?
Not that night, no. And, well, if they did that day, they sure as hell didn't come to me. They went to somewhere where the problem was.
Well, if they didn't come to your house, then it makes me think it's something that didn't need somebody to come out to your house so they could fix it earlier.
Well, that's a possibility. I'd like to think that maybe their technicians just were so booked that they couldn't get out to me. You know, but I'm really imagining me calling these people, here I am saying to them, I don't have phone service, and they're saying to me, well, try unplugging everything. Well, it can't be a big problem because we haven't received any other complaints. No shit, Sherlock. Nobody has a phone.
Well, they might have. Yeah, I see your point.
Well, that's the nightmare I went through. More hell with SNET.
Yeah.
It should be a regular feature on this show.
I'll tell you what happened.
What happened?
They listened to the show a couple weeks ago and I called you the Scourge of SNET.
Ah, that's it.
And then they, you know, they decided to mess with you, man.
That's it. I've always suspected there was a tap on my line.
Yeah, there is. Trust me.
Always wondering what that little...
shorted out and they had to come fix it.
...sound was. But,
Yeah, that's what happened.
And then there was always that breathing in the background.
Yeah, that's not right. You know, I don't. Yeah.
Remember that time we heard someone pick up an extension and we didn't know where that was, where that was coming from?
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
That was them.
That was them.
That was them. They have the worst tapping system in the world.
Yeah.
They actually have to hook up a line and listen in.
Yeah, I could have looked out my window and saw a white van or something with a wire coming from it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was them.
That was them.
Okay, well, That's over and done with. Now, we're approaching the holiday season, so...
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
They have to call this episode the Christmas episode.
Do they have to call it?
I said, is it safe for us to call it that?
Is it safe for us to call it the...
Is it the holiday episode of Hackermind?
Yeah, sure, we can call it the holiday episode.
It's not the Christmas episode.
No, let's be fair to all the other religions and non-believers.
Okay. Well, it's the holiday episode of Hackermind. Even though we don't really have anything special planned.
And is that it, Dash?
That's all I had.
Those are your words of wisdom?
For right now, yeah.
Do you have any presents for the kids listening at home?
Actually,
he does. Go ahead.
Actually, I don't.
He does. He has free stuff for everyone, and that's why you should join our chat room at irc.box.sk. Channel Hackermind, and Dash will give you something for free.
That was very, very sneaky.
He will give you every single musical CD that he owns for free. Don't worry about copies. He'll make copies for you. He'll give you every single CD he owns, and he'll give it to you for absolutely nothing. But remember, that offer is not legally binding.
Okay.
What, you've never seen commercials that have that little speed talk at the end, you know?
Be 18 years old.
Register restrictions apply. Because of the CD on Freddy does. Okay.
Yeah.
Car may not come with tires.
They talk really fast, so you can't understand them, yeah.
You know what else I can't understand? The Cult of the Dead Cow.
Me too, man. What is with that?
Now, from what I understand, you have something that shows us how they feel about the Federal Bureau of Investigation, correct?
No, I don't, actually. I have an article that shows one member of the CDC explaining how it's about Microsoft.
Ah, so you have Oxblood Ruffin article, right?
I do.
Okay, well, we'll get into that in just a minute. For right now, let's talk about the entire Cult of the Dead Cow before we pick on one individual in particular.
I was going to pick on, but go ahead.
Well, I'm going to, so there. Now, apparently, this was a major shock to me. This along with the next story that I want to cover, this all came to me on one day. We have this story, and then the next one, which deals with Dmitry Skolarov.
Very action-packed.
Yes, very action-packed day. You were in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm...
I was sitting there staring at the wall, and you're all finding out these articles.
Yeah, I'm messaging you like crazy, like, oh my God, look at all this stuff that's going on. Well, apparently, the Cult of the Dead Cow is working with the FBI to create Magic Lantern, the Trojan that they're going to use on suspected computer terrorists, well, computers, to monitor their every move. Now, this is probably a shock to most people because the Cult of the Dead Cow is a extremely popular hacker group. I mean, everybody knows their name, and they're famous for writing a lot of pretty cool programs, you know, including some Trojans.
Mainly back orifice.
Yeah. Yeah, and now apparently they're working with the FBI because, according to them, they feel it's their civic duty to protect their country by helping the FBI track down cyber terrorists, spy on is more accurate. Now, they insist that the division of the FBI that will be using this is 100% by the book. You know, they're completely legit. They would never use this unless they had good reason to, very good reason to.
Right, sure.
So that's why the Cult of the Dead Cow feels as though that they're doing a good thing. Now, I'm not as skeptical as Dash here.
I am very skeptical.
For me, yes, I do get paranoid every now and then, but I tend to think that the simplest answer is usually the right one, and I don't think that the FBI is just going to use this for whoever they want. But I do think that this is kind of ironic that the Cult of the Dead Cow would be helping the FBI track terrorists when the U.S. Patriot Act basically calls them terrorists.
I don't think it's ironic. I think it's, they're a traitor.
Traitor, huh?
Yeah, a traitor. They're a hacking group, and they're starting helping the I, the state, helping the I.
Yeah.
Helping the FBI find the hackers. Am I the only one that sees what's wrong with that picture?
Well, they're saying that it's not going to be used against just average computer hackers.
No, they don't know that. They don't have control of the FBI or what they do.
This is going to be used against Well, if they don't know what the FBI is going to do with it, how can you call them traitors against other hackers?
They know what they're going to do with it, but they don't know who they're going to use it on and how they're going to use it. Well, they probably know how they're going to use it. They don't know what purposes it's going to be used for. You know, they could be finding, you know, they could, you know, just use it in so many bad ways on people who don't deserve it.
Well, I'm not exactly sure if that would make them traitors, because
traitors to the hacker community.
If they made up tools to track hackers, then sure, but I don't know, from what they're saying, that's not what they're planning on doing. But nonetheless, it is kind of ironic that they would all of a sudden decide to help the FBI when, I don't know, I've always looked at them as a group that pretty much went against authority.
Yeah, I really thought they were. And, yeah. You know, it won't be used only on hackers, but...
Well, it's not supposed to be used on hackers. It's supposed to be used against serious terrorists.
Yeah, but now hackers are basically labeled terrorists.
Yeah.
Instead. So, it will be used on hackers, and why help the FBI catch hackers when you're one yourself? You know.
I don't know. Do you think that they're trying to get in good so that maybe they can continue to exist?
No, I have a theory.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I'm a little scared.
I have a theory. I think that they might have gone into some kind of legal trouble,
mm-hmm.
and in order to avoid prosecution, they worked this little deal out with the FBI.
And
own asses. That's my little theory. That's my little theory.
So you're saying that they're basically victims?
They could be.
Well,
that's a theory of mine.
Are they victims or traitors?
That's another theory of mine.
So, okay, you have two theories here. One makes them traitors, one makes them victims, so you're not exactly sure.
I'm not sure. Yeah. But I think my theories could be true.
Well, it is true that they were developing a type of backdoor program that, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the FBI crack down on them for that?
Yes. What were they making? They were making... I forgot what they were making.
I feel like an idiot. I'm so ill-prepared for this. I don't know the name of the program that they were working on, but you can definitely see it at cultdeadcow.com, or is it .org? I think it's .com.
I'll go there real quick and see if I can find it.
Okay. I know that they got in trouble for making that, and we won't even begin to get into all the wrongness of stopping people from developing a program. We've seen that quite a few times. But, so yeah, I mean, he is correct that now they're trying to save themselves by working with the FBI. Maybe they want to see their program finally developed and used. Or maybe they want to be the ones that make it so that they know how it works and won't have it used against them.
Yeah.
You breathing?
Yeah, I'm looking over this real quick. Sorry. I can't find it. Anyway, they were developing this program that... I forgot, man.
Yeah, well, they were developing a program that could be used by the hacker community to... well, basically, it was a Trojan program, very similar to Magic Lantern, and now... After they were told that they couldn't do that, if I'm not mistaken, then they moved on to developing Magic Lantern. So one theory of mine is that maybe they're doing that so that they can have control over it. You know, if you write a program, you know how it works. So it's very unlikely that anyone will ever use it against you. But I don't know.
That's another theory.
I wonder how the majority of hackers out there feel about this, because obviously, after the attacks on September 11th, there has been a lot of patriotism, you know, people saying that they love the country and they love it no matter what it does. And so maybe the Cult of the Dead Cow is so into getting revenge on terrorism that they're willing to put aside their differences with the FBI and actually help them develop this program. I don't know, just...
Maybe, I don't know.
Possible theories.
Guess we'll never know the truth.
Well, the notebook knows the truth, but he's not saying.
Notebook, he needs to start talking.
The notebook talks when he feels like talking. Okay.
To get Mr. Folder on his ass.
How is Mr. Folder doing? Does Mr. Folder have anything for us this week?
Let me check here. Okay. It's really heavy. You know, I'm not kidding here.
Did you ever think maybe you should just save it to disk instead of printing it all out?
I got a hernia earlier from lifting it up. No, I don't think I should do that.
You don't think you should do that, huh?
Okay, I'm just going to pull something out here at random.
They don't make 500 gig hard drives yet for your home PC, do they?
Right. Alright, let me pull this out.
We should have a little theme song for the Dash's folder.
Yeah, we should.
But we don't.
I got something here. It's the guide to mostly harmless hacking.
Oh, we all know that. What do you got for us?
Well, I have volume 1, number 6. How do we deal with offensive websites?
How do you deal with offensive websites?
Remember that the internet is voluntary. There is no law that forces to serve people they don't like. As the Spam Kings, Jeff Slayton, Kraz Kevin, and oh yes, the original spam artist, Cantor and Siegel, who are those guys? I've learned, life as a spammer is life on the run. Same holds for web that go over the edge. The reason I bring this up is that a Happy Hacker List member has told me, I think I got some words cut off here, but, yeah.
Do your best.
It's hard to read. Alright. I think that is a really cool idea. Cool spelled K-E-W-L.
Ah.
Except for one problem. You can get thrown in jail. I do not want the hacker tools you can... Do not want. Okay.
Okay, any other articles in there, Dash?
I thought we skipped that little nicely spelled article. No, I'm going to be closing up the notebook. I mean, the folder.
You're closing up the folder? You have nothing else for us?
Well, I do have a lot in here, but I don't think the public's ready.
Oh, they're not ready for the information contained within the folder.
Let me pull one more thing out here.
Okay.
It's a page listing cool hacking and freaking magazines and hacking and freaking movies.
Ooh.
And,
Let's hear some of the movies.
in the movie. There's only two.
Oh.
Hackers and War Games.
Hackers and War Games, and that's it.
Yeah. The cool hacking and freaking magazines are Frack Magazine, 2600,
Frequency.
App, and Fantasy Magazine.
And Frequency, right. Cool.
Yeah, Frequency right there. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
Printed this out on June 97.
Yeah, but Frequency was, you know.
Frequency was always.
It was still popular, I mean, even before it was out.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. Well, so it's time to close up the folder. Now we would play the end theme.
Yeah, we would if we had the theme.
Yeah, we tend to make these little beats. We should
Make a theme.
Yeah, we should make a theme. And speaking of beats, that CD's pretty much done, isn't it?
CD is almost done, my friend.
Now we're gonna have an ordering address. We're gonna get that tomorrow, and we'll let you know where you can get your copy of Hackers Interrupted, which is, according to me, the greatest CD in the world.
All original music made by me and Mr. Chaotix.
Perhaps many other people would disagree, but according to me...
And me.
And Dash, two people think it's the greatest CD in the world. We should have commercials on TV for this. Oh, I could see it now. I could see it. Get your copy of Hackers Interrupted by Screamer Chaotix and Dash Interrupt. In stores now.
Not sold in stores.
Not sold in... Yeah. Let's not sell them in stores. But, you know, we're going to have to deal with the RIAA.
Yeah, no, we won't.
But, you know, some people are tired of dealing with the RIAA.
RIAA.
The
Yeah. Yeah.
The RIA. Yeah, and let me just read this, since that was such a perfect segue. Let me just say that there's going to be a couple of concerts to raise money for a battle against record companies. Now, this is from Los Angeles, California. Elton John, No Doubt, and the Eagles are among a group of musicians who will perform at 5 benefit concerts the night before the Grammy Awards telecast to raise money for a legislative fight against the record industry.
Right. That's awesome.
The Recording Artists Coalition, a trade group representing more than 100 entertainers, has booked several sites in Los Angeles for the February 26th concerts. Money raised from the concerts will help fund an offensive against the major record labels for allegedly denying musicians a share of royalty earnings. And they say that we're the ones taking away the music from the musicians, the money from the musicians, excuse me. Courtney Love and the Dixie Chicks, are embroiled in their own legal battle, accusing their labels of exploiting them financially and locking them into long-term contracts. God only knows why.
You don't sign nothing like that if you don't want to. Okay, go ahead.
It's about time for artists to take control of their work and how it's presented to our fans, said Dexter Holland. I like that name, Dexter Holland.
Offspring.
I'm going to steal that. Yeah, I know, of the band Offspring, which will perform as part of the effort. So basically what he's saying is, look, it's our music, let us do with it as we will, and let us get paid for it.
Yeah.
Rather than you guys in the suits that do nothing but know how to steal from people, getting all of our money.
Yeah, I like to call people in suits.
Yeah. I mean, at least 85-90% of the artists out there want people to hear their music on services like Napster and Kazaa. But then you get one or two idiots like Metallica coming along and saying, oh, this sucks, you know?
Yeah, it goes like this. The music goes to the record company. The record company gives us the music.
Yep.
You got this big, greedy thing in the middle of the process that wants all the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
But, you know, there are groups out there that are against people downloading their music, you know.
Yeah, of course. Metallica, yeah.
Dave Matthews Band.
No, they want you to.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure.
Because I remember a kid did a report where he was saying that the Dave Matthews Band didn't like people downloading their music.
Oh, well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Who else?
Well, I can't tell you that, but other artists confirmed for the performances include Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks, Weezer, I love Weezer, Dixie Chicks, and Ozzy Osbourne.
Those are some pretty big names.
I never thought I would actually say Dixie Chicks and Ozzy Osbourne in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising.
More artists were expected to join the list in coming weeks, and Grammy Chief Michael Green said he is supportive of the concerts. I would absolutely not support this if I thought it was just an in-your-face thing against the labels. Hey, Hackermine is an in-your-face thing, but we're still around.
In your face.
Now, okay, here we go. Once again, just so you don't forget, the tentative lineup is Billy Joel, Sheryl Crow, the Eagles, Dixie Chicks, and Stevie Nicks at the Forum in Inglewood. Offspring, No Doubt, Weezer at the Long Beach Convention Center, Ozzy Osbourne at the Los Angeles Sports Arena, Rhythm and Blues acts to be announced at the Universal Amphitheater, and the country artists at an undetermined fifth site, which will probably be out in the desert because no one's going to go to it anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't really need that information because I'm not going to be in any of those places.
But, you know, some people might be dashed because we broadcast around the world.
Around the world.
Do you realize that? Right now, our voices, I mean, you got to feel bad for people all over the world. They're getting our voices right now.
Well, yeah, that is pretty crappy.
Well, if they're tuned in, we should say, if they're tuned in, then they can connect to our stream and get our voices that way. But theoretically, yes, we could be heard anywhere in the world where there's an internet connection.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. It doesn't mean that people will actually tune in, though.
Yeah. I don't think we're very big in Australia.
You don't think so?
No. I think we need to get some more, you know, press coverage down there.
You don't think that the guys with the little hats, they got the feathers in them. Not the pimps. You know, the other guys. Well, not feathers. Feathers are stupid. Feathers are for wimps. They have the little crocodile teeth in them, you know, Crocodile Dundee style. You don't think that they're going out there, throwing their boomerangs, coming back and saying, "Good day, mate. Go to watch me some Hackermine or listen to some Hackermine." You don't think they're doing that?
No, I don't think one person in Australia has ever listened to Hackermine.
Maybe they got their ruse next to them, you know, little kangaroos listening to Hackermine, learning all the latest news.
Yeah, I'm sure that's great. I'm sure that's great, yeah.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just me. But you know what? It doesn't deal with Australia, but it does deal with Russia, because Dmitry Sklarov is going back there.
Russian. Yeah. He is. He gets to go free.
Dmitry Sklarov is finally heading home, and that's because, according to what I heard, if he testifies against his company, Elcomsoft, which, according to his lawyer, he was going to do anyway, so his testimony has not changed. If he testifies against this company, he'll be allowed to go home, and after 1 year, or until he has testified...
Yeah, I don't like that.
His charges will be dropped. What don't you like?
I don't like that testifying against phrase. No, that's just not a good phrase. Why does he have to testify against his own company?
Well, I agree with you, and believe me, I'm not saying that this is necessarily good news, but it's a lot better for a company to pay a fine than it is for a man to spend some years in prison.
Very wise, Screamer, very wise.
You know, and but according to Dimitri's lawyer, the test...
Technique.
What's that?
You have good technique.
I have good technique. Why is that?
I don't know. Go ahead.
According to... Dimitri's, I wonder about you sometimes, Dash. According to Dimitri's lawyer, the testimony that he's going to give is still the same. It hasn't changed. So basically, I suppose, I'm not quoting here, obviously, because he hasn't said it yet, not that I know of, his testimony will go something like, yes, I wrote this program for this company, which he was going to say anyway.
Yeah.
So basically, it all goes to Elcomsoft, who... will then either say, all right, sorry we wrote it, or, I don't know, nothing. Or they'll probably wind up paying a fine or something. But
probably will, which is a damn shame.
Yeah, but Dimitri gets to go home. He gets to go home to his family, so that's good. He should be there by the new year.
Not a complete victory until the DMCA has fallen.
Well, yeah, exactly. Too many people are looking at this as a quote-unquote victory. They're looking at this like we actually accomplished something. Now, I'm not saying that we have to stop fighting, and no, we never should. But this is not a victory because they basically said, all right, we'll let you go.
All right, here's what happened. I have another theory.
here we go.
You think I have too many theories? Or, okay, who cares? I'm going to give you my theory here. I think that the government got worried about all these people finding out that the DMCA is really bad and it's not good. I think that they found out about that and they got a little scared. So they threw us a bone. They said, okay, we'll let this guy go here. They threw us a bone to try to get us to back off hating DMCA. That's my theory.
Do you subscribe to conspiracy theory?
No, I don't.
You should.
I come up with these on my own right here on the air.
Man, Dash, you're full of surprises, man.
Yeah, I know.
You're full of it. But,
does it make sense? It does. Don't tell me it doesn't make sense.
No, Dash, you're full of surprises.
All right.
And, yeah, I suppose that makes sense. I mean, well, you're full of something. You're full of something. But, that makes sense.
Yeah. I see.
And little green men are going to take over the world.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, God. Yeah, but anyway, Dimitri's going home, so more power to him, and we got to be happy for him at least.
I am happy for him, but I'm not happy for the overall situation.
Well, exactly, because nothing has changed. This shouldn't have happened in the first place. You shouldn't be arrested for writing a program in another country. In another country. What would happen? This is what I'm wondering. I was kind of wondering, did the Russians hold a U.S. citizen over there for something recently?
I don't know. I don't keep up on international events.
Yeah, well, whatever. They probably spray-painted in a car or something. But I'm not sure if that's why they kept him over here for so long, and I'm not going to get into the theories like you do, but
nothing wrong with that.
Still, imagine an American going over to Russia and suddenly being arrested by the Russian police for writing a program over here. How do you think the U.S. government would feel?
I'm not sure.
The U.S. government would be pissed as hell.
If it got found out, it got public, then yeah, but if nobody found out about it, they probably wouldn't do anything.
Well, I'm sure it probably would. If you're going to detain a U.S. citizen, there's probably going to be some notification.
Oh, well, maybe. Okay,
some people would find out. Some people over here would call up the U.S. embassy over in Russia and say, hello?
Okay.
That's if their dial tone works, though.
Yeah, the dial tone's got to work.
Because if it's not there, they're screwed.
Yeah. About to yell across the ocean or something, because they don't have a dial tone.
Tin cups and string. But, yeah, the U.S. government would be pissed to low hell. Okay? You've heard of pissed to high heaven? Well, this is pissed to low hell. They would just be, they'd be wanting to kick ass. Now, yeah, of course, when the guy gets back over here, I'm sure they'll arrest him for writing that program, but they want to make sure that the Russians don't get to punish him.
Yeah.
That's not fair. We punish people, not them.
That might have happened in this situation, although Russia didn't do anything about it because they're scared of us.
No, because Russia doesn't even consider it a crime. Russia's looking at this like, what? He wrote a friggin' program.
Yeah, but they should still be, upset about it.
Upset about us keeping him here?
Yeah, one of their citizens being held for something that they think is stupid.
I know I would be.
Yeah.
I know I would be.
They didn't do anything because, we're the big, almighty United States of America. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm done.
Dash, you're very anti-American.
I'm not anti-American. I'm anti-stupidity.
I hear that. Well, Dash, do you have any stupidity to share with us in the form of news items this week?
I do have a couple articles, but I wanted to talk about something before that.
Is this something that has been on your mind for a while now? Is this something that you've been wanting to talk about for ages?
It kind of is.
I don't know what the hell he's going to say, folks. I'm just playing along here. I'm doing the radio thing. Dash, what do you have for us?
Well, I recently saw Takedown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
I saw Takedown recently. I saw Takedown.
Yeah. Dash, go ahead and say it, you little piece of shit. Go ahead. What, Dash? What do you have to say about Takedown, the movie that was pretty much friggin' made by Shimomura? What do you have to say about it?
I have...
What?
Huh? You don't let me talk.
I'm letting you talk.
I have a very... You have to hear the whole review before you can make a judgment on me.
Yeah. Skeet Ulrich as Kevin Mitnick. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he was Kevin Mitnick. Okay. The story... I enjoyed the movie.
Oh.
Let me finish. Wasn't the best movie. It wasn't the worst movie. It was all right. I enjoyed it as fiction, because that's what it is. It's almost all fiction, and you know it doesn't favor one person over the other very much. But if it was supposed to be an accurate, you know, portrayal, then of course it's all bullshit.
It
is all bullshit.
You realize like 90% of that movie is complete lies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They try to make
it as that. If you take it as that, as you know it's lies, then it is kind of enjoyable.
They try to show Mitnick is not having any interest in women when he's been married before. You know, ooh, you ever tried scanning?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And then you got Shimomura going through his office on, what is it, rollerblades or something?
Yeah.
Ooh, Mr. Look what I can do. I can rollerblade. I'm going skiing.
Mr. Hip. Yeah.
Mr. Hip and Mr. Cool. And then you got Mr. Icebreaker in there.
I think people call him, they call him Tomo in this.
Tomo. And then you got the little ATM machine flashing Free Kevin.
Yeah,
free
that was
Kevin.
Pretty cool.
At least they got rid of the garbage can scene, though.
What happened there?
Well, that was the scene where Shimomura Mitnick into an alleyway, and originally, in the original script, Mitnick grabs a garbage can and whacks him over the head.
That's not in this one, but I know the part you're talking about.
Yeah, which is basically assault, but now they just changed it to, I didn't do anything, and then he runs.
No, yeah.
Doesn't some guy come out into the alley and block him or something like that?
All right, see, what happens is, Mitnick is walking past his apartment where all these cops just raided his apartment, so he's trying to act like he don't belong there, and he sees Shimomura, and he's all, hey, I know you, and they chase, and then they stop, and Mitnick says something like, you know, what do you want from me, and Shimomura says, like, you stole something from me, and then these two guys come out of a bar, don't ask me why they come out right then, and Mitnick starts screaming about Shimomura stealing his wallet,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, the big tough guys come over and give him back his wallet and all that, and so he runs away. Mitnick, that is.
Did Shimomura even... Would he even have the balls to go after Mitnick alone?
Well, he did, but he just stood there talking to him.
Did that even happen in real life? Did Shimomura ever say, ooh, I'm going to get him?
No, see, that's what I'm saying. It's completely lies. You know, almost completely. He did get, where they caught him and everything. Some of it was accurate. But the rest, 98% of it was just made up. You know, they had to make something. They couldn't follow the real story because it was too boring, I guess, to make into a movie.
I disagree. If you read Jonathan Lipman's book, The Fugitive Game, that's a very good book.
I've never read that one. I read Takedown.
Now, see, that's Mitnick's side of the story, The Fugitive Game. That's a great book from a guy, Jonathan Lippman, who actually had communication with Mitnick. In fact, I got the book sitting right over there. I got it out of the library.
Oh, I need to read it.
Yeah, it's great. I read the whole thing, and it's from start to finish. It deals with Shimomura, but it looks at him as the guy that's working with a reporter to get famous, you know?
Yeah, John Markoff isn't in this at all, so...
Yeah, so...
I think Shimomura... Shimomura, I can't say the name right. I think he's in it, like, for, like, 2 seconds. When you see it, you tell me if that's him or not.
Oh, the real guy? I'm sure it
is. Yeah, the real guy.
I'm sure it is.
It doesn't say anything, really, but...
I'm sure it is, but,
Yeah.
Yeah, get The Fugitive Game, man. That's the coolest thing in the world. That's really in-depth, because you got phone conversations with Mitnick while he's on the run. This guy was actually talking with Mitnick, and then you find out about how Shimomura was listening in, and he realized there's a whole chapter called Emmanuel, where he's talking to Emmanuel Goldstein on the phone, and they're actually tracking that call. It's great.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe I haven't read it.
Yeah, The Fugitive Game, Online with Kevin Mitnick by Jonathan Lippman. And then he's also the author of The Watchman, The Twisted Life and Crimes of Serial Hacker Kevin Paulson.
I see. But when you do get to see Takedown, I want you to get on here and tell people what you thought of it.
I'm gonna have a really hard time liking something that's Shimomura's way of saying I'm the man. Oh,
he didn't write the script. He wrote the book, but he didn't write the script. So yeah. It doesn't favor one over the other, really.
But you see, it's just the mere fact that Takedown is all against Mitnick, you know, it's just on.
The book is, yeah. The movie is, no.
Alright, well,
I want you to see it, you know, just, you know.
I will, but Dash, you gotta be careful in this world.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know.
Now, how much time were you facing when you drew that cartoon?
The maximum, I think, was they could keep me in jail until I was 21.
Until you're 21. How would you feel if you were facing 120 years in prison?
I'd feel, pretty much, I just, I don't know.
Well, how would you feel if you were facing 120 years in prison because you were a systems administrator that installed a program on your network without your boss's permission?
That's not even possible.
Oh, it's very possible. A college computer technician who offered his school's unused computer processing power for an encryption research project will be tried next month in Georgia for computer theft and trespassing charges that carry a potential total of 120 years in jail. The closely watched case is one of the first in which state prosecutors have lodged felony charges for allegedly downloading third-party software without permission. David McOwen was working as a PC specialist at the state-run DeKalb Technical Institute in 1998 when he learned about a project by the nonprofit organization Distributed.net.
That allowed
computer users to donate their unused processing power to test the RC5 encryption algorithm. Noticing that many of the machines he maintained on the 7 DeKalb campuses sat idle for long periods, McOwen installed Distributed.net clients at several of these locations while performing a Y2K upgrade on the machines in 1999. And according to McOwen, during the Christmas holidays in 99, school administrators noticed that unused machines were sending and receiving the distributed.net's data, and that was about the equivalent of one email per day. The school sent McOwen a letter of suspension in January of 2000 without specifying a grievance, and McOwen resigned shortly afterwards, believing that he had put the incident behind him. So here's this man, McOwen, who was working basically as a systems administrator or a PC specialist on this school's network, and he figures, okay, here's a cluster of machines that aren't doing anything. Let me be a good citizen and dedicate this to distributed.net so that they can use this to test the RC5 encryption algorithm.
Yeah, he could have been hoping that one of them cracked it and, you know, think there's some prize or something, but still, there's nothing wrong with that.
He's given out these machines to test it, you know, to give them the processing power that they need. He's being a good citizen. I could not understand how any law enforcement would not like that. But instead of having this incident just forgotten, in June of 2001, McOwen was contacted by an investigator from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation who informed him that he was the subject of an 18-month computer crime investigation. In October, prosecutors from the Georgia State Attorney General's office charged McOwen with 8 violations of Georgia's tough computer crime law, 1 count of computer theft, and 7 counts of computer trespass, 1 for each of the school offices where McOwen downloaded the distributed.net client. People do these projects for the betterment of mankind, because it's the right thing to do. Now that's what McOwen says. But apparently they don't agree that way, because each felony count carries a $50,000 fine and a 15-year possible prison term for a 120-year maximum possible sentence. The indictment also calls for a restitution equal to the amount of money paid to state workers to uninstall the programs from 500 PCs.
Oh, is this real? Are you fucking with me?
This is absolutely real. Hey, watch your language, Dash. What the fuck are you doing? This is not hacking, the article says, and I don't mean to read the whole thing, but it is a long article, so I suggest you go over to, I believe, securityfocus.com has this, and give it a look. It does say here, though, our problem with this kind of statute is that it is written in such broad terms that it can reach all sorts of behavior that doesn't constitute computer fraud, but can give the government prosecutorial discretion, says Lee Tien, a senior staff attorney with the San Francisco-based Electronic Frontier Foundation who has followed McOwen's case. This is a hacking statute, says McGowan, but obviously this is not hacking, because he installed a program that he wasn't supposed to, on machines that he had access to.
This is obviously, you know, ridiculous. And if he goes to jail for 120 years...
Well, I don't think he's going to get that. I mean, everybody's faced with...
Yeah, there's always a possibility of maximum sentence.
Yeah, everyone's faced with that maximum
Even
sentence.
Even if he has to go to jail for a year, that's too much.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I'm completely lost here. There have been things in the past that have confused me. I've not understood why certain things have happened to certain people. But this, he had access to these computers. No one was using them, and he put a program on them. But now they're saying that he stole those computers by letting someone else use them. He didn't take them out of the offices. He just let them use them.
Yeah, I know. We need to watch this and make sure, you know, he doesn't go to jail for, like, 10 million years.
Well, no. Fortunately, it's only 120.
Yeah, but basically, it could be 10 million 120. He's going to die in jail.
That's right. That's right. For putting programs on machines. Yeah, well, do you have anything else that can shock our listeners?
I do have a couple articles here if you want to hear that.
Well, sure, why not?
Okay, I'll just start with this one.
Next week we're going to have, hopefully anyway, if all goes well, we're going to have a special Phone Freak edition of HackerMind. I'd like to, anyway. All right, Dash, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Just wanted to make that little announcement.
Okay, I got you. FBI surveillance bonanza in badtrans.bee worm.
Ah, another worm.
That's the title of my article. Hmm. Yeah, that's the article of my title. Millions of Outlook and Outlook Express users have been affected by the badtrans.bee worm.
You know what? Hold on. I'm changing the icon on my desktop from Outlook Express to the Death Trap.
That's basically what it is.
All right, go ahead. Every computer in the world, folks, change it. I don't care if they have Fortress. Restart the damn thing. Just change Outlook Express to the Death Trap. I'm sorry, Dash. Go ahead. It won't happen again.
Millions of Outlook and Outlook Express users have been affected by the badtrans.bee worm, which logs keystrokes in every open window and periodically sends the log files to one of several email dumps, presumably for later retrieval by nosy hackers.
Ah. In actuality, it's the FBI doing this.
Yes. According to a story from Rotten.com, an ISP which hosts one of the email dumps, Monkey Brains, has received a request from the FBI to turn over all the relevant log files.
Hmm. Now, wait a minute. Didn't I hear something about this on Off the Hook?
I don't know, did you?
I heard something about how they were talking about the FBI demanding information... that was pretty much dumped from a worm. Yes, the FBI was demanding information, but Emanuel didn't want to hear it because he didn't have any quotes from the FBI themselves.
Okay, well, I'm going to read the rest of this article. Monkey Brains has instead turned the tables on the FBI by making part of the database available to everyone on their website.
Ooh.
It's badtrans.monkeybrains.net. If the story is true, that's not good. If the story is true, when the FBI is... Then the FBI's intention is clear. They plan to assemble the data and grab for various keywords and names in hopes of stumbling upon the passphrases of known and suspected evildoers.
Hmm.
It's magic lantern on steroids. Okay. And yet it's just a dumb accident. But one which could dump in an absolute motherload of otherwise forbidden data in the Fed's laps.
Now, I had said that the FBI sent out this worm. Is that true?
I have not heard that.
Okay, so... Don't think that for,
Or you could, fact. You know, that's a theory. That's a good theory. You just came up with a good theory there.
No.
Good going.
No, I was trying to dispel a rumor is what I was doing. But before we end for the night, I wanted to just get this one last article out of the way. I don't like loose ends.
Yeah, got to tie them up.
House legislation would also exempt ISPs from liability for overzealous carnivore surveillance. Now, in a nutshell, House lawmakers introduced legislation on Thursday that was designed to give federal judges more flexibility in imposing sentences for a range of computer crimes.
I'm sorry, what?
House lawmakers introduced legislation... Listen to the friggin' loop.
They wanted the judges to be able to make the penalties worse?
more flexibility in imposing sentences for a range of computer crimes. The bill would also grant a liability exemption to Internet service providers that cooperate with law enforcement agencies. So, listen, in a nutshell, I'm not saying that the penalties will be worse, but they'll have it a lot easier, okay? They'll be able to give you a more severe punishment much more easily than they could before, which was pretty damn easy.
Then, okay.
Yeah, no, seriously, listen to listen to the loop or the download to the stream. I shouldn't say the loop, people are going to get confused.
Yes, the stream.
Listen to that. Well, it's looping on the stream. Listen to that to hear what I said. But yeah, apparently this new legislation will allow not only federal judges to be able to give you a more severe penalty or punishment, I should say. It'll also exempt ISPs from overzealous use of the Cardevoir program, meaning if they feel like monitoring every single person they have for the hell of it, and this is the ISP.
They can do that.
They can do that, as long as they cooperate with the feds.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, you can find out everything about all your users.
Exactly.
You gotta give it to us.
Exactly. As long as they work with the FBI, they'll be able to find out everything about their users.
Oh, well, that's just great.
Well, everything that the Carnivore program allows for, which means, obviously, just, you know, like, pretty much header files, but with a few tweaks of code... I'm sure you can change that to read all sorts of good stuff.
First Carnivore, now it's Magic Lantern. What's it going to be next?
I don't know, but Magic Lantern's being written by hackers, and that's kind of sickening.
Yeah, it is.
That's kind of sickening. But look at that, the clock just ran around in a circle. So it's time to go. And let's just wish everybody a happy holidays. To all you... Christians or whatever, happy Merry Christmas to all you Jewish people. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy Voodoo Day, happy Go Lucky,
happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday if it happens to be your birthday. That's sure.
Happy birthday, yeah.
Sure, yeah. And to all you agnostics out there like me, well, happy Getting Prisons Day. Sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yes, 1.1 gigahertz machine coming my way.
Oh, no.
Guess how many megs of RAM. No, don't guess. You know. 512 megs of RAM, baby.
That's a lot.
No more stuttering music for me. No more slowdowns. No more anything. It's just going to be all power under my fingertips.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. It's your only computer on steroids.
Yes, let's just hope it has a dial tone.
Indeed.
Well, actually...
Well, the computer itself won't have a dial tone.
No.
But
yeah.
When you plug your modem... Wait, you use a cable modem, so...
Mm-hmm.
You don't make very much sense.
I make more sense than you do. But, Dash, you know what makes perfect sense?
What?
Christmas Day. Christmas Day, Dash.
Day.
December 25th, 2001. Next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Hackermind.net.
Hackermind.net.
Be there.
Either.
To see what we're talking about.
That's right.
Hackermind.net. Christmas Day. We're out.
Here.
Happy holidays.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time, jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. Go gliding in the one horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell ride.